What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Two Worlds Podcast. I'm Jake, and with me, as always, is the detective chimp to my Sam Simeon. It's Casey. Welcome back, dude.
What's up? It's nice to be back. I'm a little disappointed. I'm, not the Shrek year shadow, but whatever.
That is a very special place. Oh man. Did I know that you I know that you listened to the episode because you got to correct me on
Yeah.
some misspeakings there. Yeah, Preston was a fine step in for you.
He was. I was disappointed you guys didn't do at least your top four favorite furries of the week, though.
I know. We had to keep it somewhat normal.
Yeah.
But yeah, speaking of, we've got some YouTube comments. Two of the three were from Casey.
Yeah, I was driving when I did mine too, because I'm a bad boy rebel, but listen, I was like, oh, I need to do this before I forget.
So Casey here said, Correction Department, Brandon Lee was killed by a prop gun. And by the way, after I read that, I was like, oh yeah, I did know that.
Yeah.
We retroactively call that getting Alex Baldwin. Oh my gosh. He's a piece of shit. And then you go on to say, also, Jake got Lazarus contract and Judas contract mixed up. Lazarus was the rebirth book where Slade gets the Speed Force, and Judas was where Deathstroke got put on a sex offender registry. And then finally you say, so Tom and Green Lantern was Pie Face, an old friend of Hal's from way back in the day. DC seemingly distancing themselves because his nickname was racist. I was familiar with Pie Face. I just didn't know that that's who that was.
Yeah, it's like the whole time he was ever around there, it was like called him Pie Face, and then like early 2000s they're like, that's a racist name for Inuits, and then they're like, oh, we can't say that anymore, so they just kind of got rid of him.
Like, change his name, never use him
Yeah, it's
again.
like call him by his real name or just
Delete.
get rid of him. And they're like, we really like calling him Pie Face.
Oh, man.
Because yeah, there
And
was a
then,
there really quick just a there was this really good comic with him in it. I think it's called Green Lantern Legacy, and it's like basically it's him dealing with Hal Jordan, like after Hal Jordan died, like became Parallax, died and became Spectre, and he was gifted Hal's ring. And but it wasn't Hal's ring, it was like a kid basically, and it's like, oh, you got to watch him. But then, like, he's got superpowers and he has to deal with like the Justice League and trying to, do the like how the Justice League always is in non-Justice League books when they're just dickheads for the sake of being dickheads, like, oh, this kid's got power, blah blah blah. And then, spoiler alert, turns out to be Hal's ring and all that stuff. It's really good. It's a really good Tom book.
Nice. Who writes that?
I really don't know. I got it somewhere, so I could pull it out and be like, oh, it's by so and so, but I don't remember. We'll
You said it
Google it
was
really
Green
quick.
Lantern Legacy?
Pretty sure that's the title of it.
Yeah. Author was, wait, no. Legacy is about the.
Oh yeah, I'm thinking of something different. Let's type in. But yeah, no, I
Well.
mean that was like a book I got at one of those old books. It's Green Lantern Legacy, The Last Will and Testament of Hal Jordan. It was a book I got at the old, it's by Joe Kelly at the old Barnes and Noble back in the day.
Okay.
And Bill Sienkiewicz does the art.
Ooh, that's a good combo right there.
Yeah.
Very
So like I
nice.
said, I mean, it's a really good book too. Like you probably wouldn't like it as much as like just a regular like big Green Lantern fan, because it's like it's Tom heavy. If you're like, oh, I don't really know who Tom is. Might not
Right.
be for you, but if you're a Green Lantern fan, it is like a really solid book.
Yeah. All right, our other comment was from good old Christian, who says, when Preston said, "Do you want to know what it does?" when talking about the Lockjaw Marvel Snap Guard, you can see the light leave Jake's eyes immediately. If it looked like that, it was not intentional. I am very, very used to hearing Preston talk about Marvel Snap because I listen to the testing room. So
you don't just like hit the 15 seconds later button when he does that.
It's like, fuck this. That's funny though. All right. Yeah, that's it. So we can jump on into the news.
Well, I just like this because I wrote it and I'm like, I'm going to be a silly boy. Next time Preston's on, can the titles be Star Wars related? Like, here's just some ideas. The Preston Menace, The Preston Wars, Revenge of Preston, A New Preston, Preston Strikes Back, Return of Preston, and the Preston Awakens. That's one of them. What were the other two? Rise of the Preston.
Yeah, Rise of the, which could be a dangerous title.
And then Rogue Preston.
Yeah.
Preston, a comic book podcast story. I'm trying to think of the third main Star Wars movie. You've seen them all. You should know.
Yeah, but I don't like the new ones. Oh, let's see. Yeah, the last Preston.
Oh, the last Preston. Perfect. That's like the last time he's allowed on.
Yeah.
Because the time before he got super political and we're like, we don't do that here.
The Preston Wars could be, it should be Attack of the Preston.
Oh, sorry. Dude, yeah. I
moment.
Fair enough.
I genuinely just think the Preston Menace is hilarious though.
It is, right? That's like, we have to have him let's like pop in, you know, like, oh Lord,
yeah.
He's here.
Here he is again.
We mentioned Star Wars and wrongly too many times. Now he's here to correct us.
I don't know, Preston, you got to let us know what you think of that idea. I'm all for it, though.
The Prestalorian.
The Prestalorian. All right, man. I think you've got a couple more news bits than me, so I'll let you start us off.
All right, dude. So, reportedly, Franklin Richards is set to appear in the Fantastic Four movie, which I hate that idea. I'm not a big fan of the older Fantastic Four guys anyway, because it's like they're mostly too old. But I don't know. This is a problem that I have like with a lot of these newer Marvel movies, and then like what DC's planning too, where it's just like, let's catch up to the comics already. It's like, you don't need to. There's so much history. Just let it start and then slowly do this stuff. And so,
yeah.
Not in on that idea. Maybe Franklin will be Spider-Man's friend instead of the Human Torch, though, since they'll be closer to age, probably. The new Joker movie is going to be a jukebox musical with 15 cover songs. So I just thought it'd be fun. Give us like a couple songs you want to see the Joker and Harley Quinn cover, because Beverly Hills, top of my list.
What? Okay. What does that mean, though? What does it mean, a jukebox musical?
So, since it mentioned the cover songs, too, I'm assuming it just means there's no original music, and it's all just songs that people like made by other people.
Okay.
So, yeah, like Weezer's Beverly Hills, and Weezer's Say It Ain't So, and, you know, other Weezer greats.
Island in the Sun.
Ooh, Island in the Sun by Lady Gaga.
Pork and Beans by Lady Ooh, Gaga.
That's a good one.
Oh gosh. Real quick, I really want to talk about your bit on Henry Cavill. Will you do that one next?
Yeah. So there's Rumor coming around, because we were talking about recently how Henry Cavill's been approached to play a character in the Marvel Universe and thought who it could be, blah, blah, blah. And then the big rumor that's going around that I've seen in a lot of places is he is going to play, spoiler alert for Deadpool, Deadpool Kisses Wolverine, or whatever it's going to be called. He is going to play a variant of Wolverine.
I think it's cool just because I like anything that he does, really. And I just want to see him in stuff. I wouldn't want that as like a regular casting until it happened, and then I'd be all about it because I love him. But I think that's pretty fun. I know a lot of people really wanted him as Captain Britain. But I don't know. I think just what I assume is maybe a cameo. I can't imagine a lot of these variants will have large parts.
Yeah, I don't
I
think
think
so
it's
either.
fine.
Yeah, it's one of those things. As a variant, I'm fine if it was like if he became the MCU Henry Cavill, I wouldn't be fine with it, but a variant's whatever, because that's the whole point of a variant. But yeah. And then while we're on the subject of that, we also got promo art for Deadpool and Wolverine. It teases all the Deadpool variants. So there's like Lady Deadpool, Dog Deadpool, Headpool,
Baby.
Baby Pool, and Kid Pool. Those are things too. I mean, yeah, like you've read more Deadpool than me, really. Like, are you? And you probably, I think you've seen stuff with at least Headpool, right? You've read some,
I mean, not much there. I know that, like, I think Merc with a Mouth was the name of a series that Headpool is a part of, but a lot of like the Deadpool core or whatever they're called, I'm not super familiar with.
That's really when I was like, Marvel, you're doing too much.
I mean, the extent of my Deadpool is really the Danny Way, which was the second series, and then a bit of the Jerry Duggan, Brian Posehn stuff, but I didn't read that whole series, so. But yeah, I don't know. It's whatever. It's like you can tell they're kind of going hard slash maybe a bit overboard because I don't know if there will be another one after this. So I'm sure Ryan probably has other stuff that he would like to do. Say whatever. Let him have fun. It's probably going to be good. I liked one and two. I'm not going to be all hoity-toity comic book nerd over Deadpool. Like, it's supposed to be stupid and fun, and that's what they are.
Yeah, I hear you, dude. I think it could be really neat, and it's like it's one plus that, like I wasn't, I think I finally watched all of the first one or most of it, and I've seen most of the second one, but I just they never had me too hyped. This one I'll probably see in theaters just for funsies, but I mean, it's just gonna be like I have a feeling I'll be like, oh yeah, it's neat, I guess.
You'll think
Wolverine.
that you'll laugh a couple of times,
Yeah. Yeah.
that's fine.
And then the after credit scene, it'll end and we'll have the whole Alpha Flight show up, and I'll be like,
Dude, if that happens, oh man, that would be so crazy.
but Henry Cavill's Puck, and I'll be like, oh, he's too tall.
But you would
Yeah,
still be all in.
I mean, like, I'll be hard as a rock, but I'll be like, oh, it makes me so mad.
What if they did the camera tricks to make him small
I'd still be like,
though?
I mean, it wouldn't bother me that much because I'm not one of those people where it's like I saw this person that was like, they really need to cast a blind Chinese toddler to play Toph, and they're being dead serious. It's like you're limiting yourself on actresses, guy. But so it's like I don't really think a little person has to play Puck because it's like he wasn't born, tiny. He got shrunk down, so it's like really. Do what you want, but still, I don't think Puck should be hot. Like that's the one, that one's legitimate.
Oh,
Let us know down
man.
below, should Puck be hot? Same with Wolverine. Wolverine, despite Hollywood's best efforts, should not be hot.
Right. I'm gonna write that down for the questionnaire on whatever Spotify that nobody answers.
I do when I remember.
That's so funny. Okay. Gosh, we had like a lot of bits of news, but they're all just like a little tiny bits. Yeah. So Sebastian Stan is not returning for Captain America 4, which I think that means his next appearance will be in Thunderbolts.
I think you're correct on that one.
Yeah. So I don't know. Like, fans are disappointed because they just really like Sebastian Stan, which fair enough. I also like Sebastian Stan. But it's whatever. They want it to be a Sam Wilson movie.
Yep. And fair enough to that too. He kind of needs it since the last, you know, his last thing was, sounds like it was kind of juggling a lot.
Yeah. And even as a person that liked that series, I get it. I get it. I'm not upset that it's just the Sam show.
The main problem I have with this one being Sam heavy, though, I'll kind of lead into this. It sounds like they're doing a lot Hulk related in this new movie, because allegedly Red She-Hulk is going to be teased in the after credits for Cap 4, because the leader is going to be one of the villains for Cap 4. And so Red She-Hulk's going to appear, and then they say it's going to set up a World War Hulk movie. Because don't you remember Red She-Hulk in World War Hulk? She had that really great part where she was like, I'm Red Hulking up! And then she just punched Silver Surfer. You know, remember when that happened?
Didn't they already blow their chance to do World War Hulk?
Yeah.
Technically?
I mean, here's the thing. At any point, they could just have Hulk go back into rage mode and have Illuminati send him in outer space. They could do that at any point. But Red She-Hulk has nothing to do with this.
Yeah. I mean, let's be real. That's the most MCU thing ever, though, right? So
it's just like some writer who hasn't seen the comics saw the title World War Hulk and they're like, oh, we got a She-Hulk, we got a Red Hulk, because I guess Thunderbolt Ross is supposed to appear in the movie as Red Hulk, we got a regular Hulk, and now we got a Red She-Hulk. It's gonna be a World War Hulk.
Oh man, what are they doing? It sounds like it's gonna be an absolute shit show, to where I need to see the trailer first, but this could be what I wanted Madam Web to be, you know? Yeah. Like the fun, I want to go make fun of this.
Yeah. Which I still think Madam Web, we could have fun making fun of it, but I think we both saw it alone. So it was like we were both just the saddest boys.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, so the Peaky Blinders movie starts filming in September. They officially announced that Cillian Murphy was gonna reprise his role as Tommy Shelby, and it's like, yeah, no shit. But anyway, they paired that huge announcement with the fact that they were starting filming in September, so this will be the movie that ties up everything that happened at the end of the show. And I'm excited. You know I love Peaky Blinders. I've seen it 3 or 4 times. It's just so fucking good. So I'm ready to wear my skull cap to the theater and watch it.
Is it coming to theaters, or is it going to be like a Netflix movie?
Don't know, honestly. Yeah. I mean, my gut would say Netflix. However, Peaky Blinders is pretty big. I wouldn't be surprised if they did, even if it's limited, some sort of movie theater. If it is limited and it comes to St. Louis, I will go to the theater for it.
Right on, man. And speaking of direct-to-Netflix movies, see what I did there. We are getting a Happy Gilmore sequel. So I guess Adam Sandler's already got the script done, and he sent it to Shooter McGavin to show him that that's the thing. And it's going to be direct to Netflix. That's about all we know. But I mean, I know you're excited.
Yep.
I don't really know what the hell it's going to be, but I know you're excited.
It's going to be a love letter to Carl Weathers. That's what it's going to be.
Yeah. I'm good with that.
Yeah, I am too. I love Happy Gilmore a lot. It sounds like this was something that Adam was working on before Carl died, and he was like, well, you know, now's the time to do it. So, yeah, bring it on. I'm excited. Okay. So Margot Robbie is supposedly producing a movie based on The Sims. Did you ever play The Sims, Casey?
A little bit. Like, I liked it okay. My siblings loved it a lot more than me, though.
I like The Sims 2. I had The Sims 2 on either PlayStation or PlayStation 2. I don't know which it came out for, but I played it a lot. My lovely lady is a huge fan of The Sims. So that's probably one that we will enjoy seeing together, something we
Nice.
both appreciate. But, you know, I'm kind of, I like Margot just having fun and making movies from franchises that she enjoys. Because I believe her when she's like, oh, yeah, I love this nerdy thing. It's like, yeah.
Especially The Sims. Like, that's something that's like, oh yeah, that's very believable. Like, you absolutely played this, you know?
So, you know, we'll see what happens. I still need to see the Barbie movie. I believe everybody when they say it's really good. I'm sure that this will be too.
Yeah. And I just hope, like, how funny would it be if the whole movie is like Margot Robbie's God? And then, like, all of the people talk, do the Sims talk, and then, like, every once in a while, like, their door will disappear because they're doing something bad. And then, like, or, like, they get really upset that they can't eat or, you know, whatever. And, like, it's just this, like, weird horror movie with, like, sexy
Oh,
God.
that would be hilarious. The door disappears and a rug gets placed next to the fireplace.
Yeah.
Because we all have been there.
Okay. Aaron Taylor Johnson has been offered the role of James Bond, apparently. So, you know, I wrote down this because I'm not a fan. Bland. James Bland.
I thought that was hilarious, dude. I
like,
got a good chuckle out loud whenever I read it.
I'm glad. Because it's like, he might be okay, but I still will always hold the Godzilla 2014 movie against him, where he was the blandest person on the planet. Like,
he did he ever redeem himself in your eyes, or are you just always going to hate him for that?
I mean, it's not even like, I wouldn't even say it's hate. It's just like, I don't know. It's just kind of like, if you go to a restaurant and you're, and you know, like, let's say you may go to a restaurant. I'm like, Jake, I got the best sandwich here. Don't even worry. I'm going to order it, bring it to you. And you get the sandwich, take a big bite, and it's just straight white bread with mayonnaise. That's it. And you're like, dude, I'm like, what? Is it a little bit too zippy for you? And you're like, no, there is no zip. This isn't even Miracle Whip. That's Aaron Taylor Johnson's acting to me. Like, that's how he was in Kick-Ass. Like, he had a little bit of a personality in Age of Ultron, but even like Kick-Ass, where it's like, oh yeah, it's like, no, dude, you're very bland, sir.
Dude, so being like the only person that really loves Age of Ultron, I thought he was great in that. I really did. I loved his part in that movie.
Like, his part, and for me personally, I think Hawkeye made his part better, though. Like, if there was
sure.
It's like, Hawkeye was what was really, really awesome, and then, like, Aaron Taylor Johnson was, like, talking with a weird accent that for some reason Scarlet Witch has forgotten all about. like, he was talking with a weird accent, and then, like, Hawkeye was saying funny lines as he would run away. And I was like, oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, whether someone else was a part of it or not, I still enjoyed the scenes greatly.
So are you excited about him, you know, Kraven the Hunter as James Bond?
The thing is, man, is I didn't love Daniel Craig, so I'm excited that I get to see someone else try, you know? And if I don't enjoy it, I'm not going to be super let down because I already wasn't enjoying it.
That's my main problem, and this is like just on the same subject. I prefer the fun James Bond, and I think we're just gone from that. Like the fun gadgets, the crazy characters and all that stuff. I just don't think we're getting that anymore, and which sucks, and because that's what I like. And so like I think Aaron Taylor Johnson is going to be like another Daniel Craig where it's just like, yep, paint by the numbers. Like I, for the longest time, I thought Daniel Craig had very little, you know, ability to act. And I see him as like the gay Kentucky Foghorn Leghorn in Knives Out and Glass Onion. And I'm like, oh, okay, he's actually funny and charming, and this is kind of nice. Like I'm glad to enjoy his movies now.
No, I do like him a lot, but you know, when you sign on for James Bond, you sign on for multiple movies and you just got to do what they want you to do. Yeah, I do agree with you. I mean, you already know my favorite Bond is Pierce Brosnan, so I definitely miss the cool gadgets and stuff like that too. So it is a little bit of a bummer, but wouldn't it be something if they brought all that back with him, with Aaron? They're just like, fuck it. Crazy characters and gadgets. Let's go.
But then it's like the most bland delivery while he's trying to do puns. He'd be like, take a dive.
You know, though, I really hope that this is like the role that he needs to like break out, and I hope that you like it.
I mean, I'm not gonna hold my breath.
Yeah. Nor do I think you should. I just hope that it is for you.
Let us know down below. Do you think he's going to be a great Bond? And tell us your favorite James Bond. Like, rate them. If you say George Lazenby is your favorite, though, we will find you and smack you. It's like, yeah, On Her Majesty's Secret Service is my favorite. Ooh, I'm so interesting.
They're wearing the fake thick-rimmed glasses too. That's so funny.
But no, my favorite Bond's Sean Connery, Goldfinger. With Pussy Galore in her man hands.
There's not really any that I dislike, honestly, apart from Daniel Craig. Like I recognize that that.
Even really quick, even Timmy Daltz, because his I wasn't hot on.
Yeah, he's towards the bottom for me for sure, but and I fully recognize how bad Pierce's Die Another Day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I realize that
The
that's
Halle
not a
Berry
good
movie.
movie. Yeah. But you know, the world is not enough. I love that movie, and then fuck the other one,
GoldenEye.
Goldeneye. I almost said Goldfinger. I'm like, that is not it. But anyway, and then you know, fuck, who was the second one? Help me out. I feel like such a fake fan.
So the second one was George Lazenby, who did On
Right.
Her Majesty's, and then it was Sean Connery again for Diamonds, and then it was Roger Moore,
Roger Moore, thank you.
who went on to do it for too long. Moonraker,
Moonraker.
and then but the one with Christopher Walken where he it was
Oh, what was that one?
Live and Let Die, I think maybe. And it's like
A
he's wearing
View to Kill.
a View to Kill, and that's the one where he's like wearing a leather jacket and looking very much old.
Yeah, it's weird though, because like in some scenes it's like he's got a wig on and he doesn't look old, but I don't know. Well, Walken's just a weird character in general.
Well, I meant Roger Moore. Roger Moore was like that. That was like the end of the Roger Moore era, and it's like, oh,
Oh, okay.
buddy. Well, you're too old for this.
I still stand by Walken looking old in certain parts, because he's either got like a weird comb over, or he's got kind of a baby face and aviators on. I don't know.
Walken is one of those guys. He's very much like the old woman picture, where it's like, ah, that's a beautiful lady, or like, oh, that's an old hat.
Oh man. Anyway, well, welcome to our side project all about James Bond.
It's going to be called Friends Bonding. James Bonding.
I love it. All right. And then my last bit of news. This one really took me by surprise this week. There is a new Boondock Saints movie in development. Turns out Troy Duffy, the original writer-director, is not attached to it. Apparently Troy Duffy is going to go on to write Boondock Saints books.
Mm-hmm.
And while I hear he's hard to work with and kind of a douche, at the same time, it's like, I hope it works out for you, because I know you've been busting your ass for like fucking 15 years to get another movie going and a TV show going, and none of it worked out. However, Norman Reedus and Sean Patrick Flannery will be returning, and this is going to be a reimagining slash them passing the torch on to new Saints. So how do you feel about that, man? Because I know you've seen those movies.
Yeah, I mean, the second one I'm not so hot on.
Sure.
The first one's awesome. I don't think this is gonna be good. Unless the writer is really fucking good and the director is really good, I don't think it's going to be any good. What about you?
Yeah.
It's like this was your favorite movie for a long while.
Yeah. I mean, it was basically my whole personality late high school, early college. And I'm not even ashamed to admit that, because I still love the first one, and I like the second one, even though I recognize that it's trash, but it's funny trash.
I'll be honest with the second one though, really quick. The guy that carries it's the new guy they brought in. Like, he's mm-hmm. so funny, but then like where they had like they overdid it with like the girls recreating scenes and shit, you know? Because like when Defoe was doing it, it was like, it was over the top, but it wasn't that over top, like where he's dressed like a cowboy shooting stuff and all that type of shit, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I absolutely agree. Also, it was going to be hard to top Defoe anyways, because mm-hmm. he fucking kills it in that movie.
Right.
I'm not going to lie. The thought of having a new one to watch is very exciting. That's mostly nostalgia.
Mm-hmm.
Realistically, a passing the torch idea does not excite me. But if I get Norman and Sean even getting a little bit of cool action scenes in this movie, that's what I want.
Yeah.
If they're gonna be done, let them go out with a bang. So.
Oh yeah.
That's where I'm at.
All right. My last bit of news, with the success and love of X-Men 97, Marvel is thinking about bringing back the 90s Spider-Man cartoon, which, you know, pretty cool. The way I remember in my head, it wasn't on as much, but it was better than X-Men 97. But what do you think about that? You interested at all in any of that or nah?
I don't want to say that I'm not interested. I liked the X-Men cartoon when I was a kid, and I'll watch the new one eventually. It's just not something that I'm like super stoked for or have to watch mm-hmm. right away. I watched Spider-Man less than the X-Men cartoon, so I'm as familiar. I know a lot of people like it. And actually, I had a customer last week that it was right after I think the show dropped on Wednesday, so Thursday or Friday he came in and he was like, "Yeah, I'm loving it so far." He's like, "But I was a much bigger fan of the 90s Spider-Man cartoon, and I hope the success of that makes them bring that back." So just the
Yeah.
fact that like this is a thing now, I'm really happy for that customer.
Yeah, that is awesome.
And I hope that it works out. I think it would probably do better than X-Men because people fucking love Spider-Man, right?
Yeah. But also though, X-Men, that X-Men cartoon, like as far it has like the fans of it have the rosiest of glasses for it, you know, where it's like they can't see anything wrong with it. So it's like I don't know, it has such a weird following. And so like then this new one came out and there people are loving it.
Yeah. I like that cartoon, but yeah, dude, like a lot of the voice acting, and some of just the ideas behind episodes, it's like whenever I went back for a rewatch, I only made it a few episodes because I was like, man, this really isn't that good.
And the animation is so rough. Like
I heard that the new animation is really good.
that's
Like
what I've heard
they
too.
make it look old, but in a good way, so.
Yeah. But now it's time for some comics. What'd you read?
I read Dawn Runner number one, Vengeance of Moon Knight number three, Dear Editor number three, Superman number 12, and Blade number nine.
Okie dokie. Put Blade here then. And I read a bit more than you, believe it or not. Night Thrasher 2. Justice League versus Kong versus Godzilla number 6. Cobra Commander number 3. Fantastic Four number 18. The Invincible Iron Man number 16. The Ape Rill Special. Green Lantern War Journal number 7. World's Finest number 25. Blade. Dear Editor and Superman.
Nice. I will let you take it away.
All right. So Night Thrasher number 2, and this is by Jay Holtman and Nelson Daniel on the art. Yeah, I mean Night Thrasher's just kind of like prepping for his fight with Rage again. And then the cops are, you know, like Rage has got his whole team of children that are gonna be robbing stuff, and Night Thrasher shows up and beats up on Rage, but then they're like, "Ah, oh, you cause a lot of damage to stuff." Like the cops were all mad, but it's like Rage was th like he threw your police car. Like there was nothing y'all would have done, and yet you're mad at Night Thrasher for stopping him. Like this is it's New York. Like what I really like that ending really ruined it for me. Like the story itself was fine, but like it made no sense. Like it'd be different if this is like an Image book, maybe. Where it's like, oh, this fresh new hero, but still, it's like the cops had no shot. And then, like, he stopped them. And, like, a lot of this destruction was caused before he even got there. Like, there was some ground destruction and some other, like, little things. So it's like, he didn't do anything that bad, bud. Like, and he's like, oh, look what I did. You know, like that type of thing, you know, that type of ridiculous shit. So that really ruined it for me. The art in it's pretty solid, though. I'm gonna probably go with like a 4.5 out of 10 on it.
Okay.
And then Justice League versus Godzilla versus Kong, number 6. And this is by oh, gotta find Brian Buccellato, I know does the writing, and I'm trying to find the artist really quick. But man, you stopped reading it, and I'm not gonna lie, it's not the best. It's a Christian Deuce. It's just like it kind of gives me vibes of like oh that one Tom Taylor book where it's zombies, you know, where it's like they just do stuff to do stuff. Like Guy Gardner gets like they just do stuff to look cool. So like you know if this is Batman gets his mech in this one because it's like yeah, putting Flash and a mech to help power its engines makes more sense than having Flash do anything against these giant monsters, I guess. And then the Green Lanterns were like, ah, oh, we can make a one mech together also. where one of us is the leg, you know, are the legs, and then another one is the arm. It's like, y'all can just make mechs yourself and you'd have more of them. And they're like, no, we need each other's help. And it's like, one of them is just in the head. What are you doing? There's no buttons in there. You're making everything. You're a Green Lantern. And then, like, Jason and Red Hood are flying the bat plane, and then it turns into a mech also, because of course, but this mech's got guns. I just want to see, like, Batman, like, going, no, and, like, just, you know, squish it, because they're doing something wrong, you know, they're not supposed to have guns. And also, how funny would it be if, like, Batman sees Damian flying without a pilot's license and just beats the shit out of him? But yeah, so then there's like that silly stuff, and then Beast Boy. Oh, they rip off one of the arms. Guy Gardner was in that arm, and then Grodd just fucking kills Guy Gardner. Which I'm like, it makes sense because I've seen the covers of the next issue where where King Kong gets a Green Lantern ring.
Holy shit.
So it's like, that's, yeah, it makes sense they had to kill a Green Lantern. He's the most killable, I guess. But then Beast Boy turns into King Kong. And, like, King Kong's been tough. Like, he's been taking hits from everybody, including Supergirl. And so Beast Boy should be close to that tough, you'd think. Supergirl one-shots Beast Boy as Kong. Because she's mind-controlled, you know. And then it ends with Superman showing up to fight Godzilla, who's chained up underwater. He's like, we've got a score to settle. In classic Superman fashion, keeping score of his fights.
Dude, that's the thing. Bucciolato doesn't fucking get anyone he's writing.
I mean, he might be better in like a mainstream book. It just seems they're like, do as much goofy ass fan service as you want. That's what this book needs. And he's like, way ahead of you.
I don't know. Like, I get that, man. But at the same time, like, I just thought it was dumb. It wasn't even for me.
It's fun, but it's super dumb. And so, yeah, I'm probably out of 5, maybe. Like, it's, like I said, it's dumb. And if you haven't been reading comics your whole life, you might even enjoy it. But, you know, I've read way too many comics in my day, so it's less enjoyable for me. They're getting a lot of Casey tonight since they missed me last week.
That's right.
So, Cobra Commander by Joshua Williamson and Andrea Milana. Yeah, this is fun. The art's really good. The Dreadnoughts are torturing Cobra Commander, and he's just playing them because they're kind of Louisiana idiots. And then it's like, I know stuff about, like, I know certain characters in the G.I. Joe lore, but fuck, do I not know who this guy is?
Yep, me either. I know even less.
So, you know, that was interesting when he showed up, but this book's really cool. This is the best issue so far, too.
Art looks just good.
Yeah, I like the art a lot. I like the torturing scene. He gets the stuff he needs. The Dreadnoughts are cool. This weirdo with the wings there is pretty badass. So, yeah, I'm just into it. I'm going to give it an 8 out of 10.
Excellent.
And I think I'll do one more and then I'll let you go. So Fantastic Four 18 by Ryan North and Carlos Gomez on the art. This has my single favorite panel in comics history, or two of them, because it's just so fucking stupid.
And then, what the fuck?
And then how his eyes stay kind of out a little bit.
That is so funny, dude.
So for the listeners that don't have the video going, Reed Richards is like looking at the sky and he's got his eyes out like binoculars, and it just tickled me very much. But yeah, so basically Franklin Richards is like, oh, I wake up once a year and I bring my powers back because I got rid of them. I'm not going to explain how my hair is black when it used to be blonde. Don't even ask. And I'm going to look at this possible thing. There's invisible meteorites that are coming to Earth. And it turns out the Fantastic Four can't stop him. And so I'm just going to nudge everything because I got all this power. And then this bad guy's like, I'm watching this child sleep. Oh, and he did this. Well, I can do that too. And then he moved everything back. And so then so it happens anyway. The meteorites are still going. And then turns out the Fantastic Four can't stop it. And it's one of those things where it's like, well, what was the fuck was the point of this whole first half? You know?
Yeah.
But like, they very much have a like Star Trek type moment where like you have all the smart people talking, trying to figure out how to do something. And then you have like the one normal person where it's like, what if you just filled it with more air, like a balloon ready to burst, you know, like that type of thing. And then they're like, that's a genius idea. And it was like, Alicia Masters said something, and it was like, it was a really good Fantastic Four way of stopping something where like they all teamed up, like Sue used her powers with Johnny's powers. And then they had Ben and Reed able to like move the stuff around with their eyesight. So that, you know, it'd shoot out the little like things like missile command basically.
Oh,
And
sure.
Like, yeah. And it looks awesome.
Nice. That is cool.
Yeah. It's just like, what was the point of the first half of this book? Because it is the first half of the of Franklin just being like, I have all this power, I'm a god, I can move this stuff, I'm gonna go back to sleep. And then the other guy's like, oh, glad I was watching this child sleep. And then he just moved it back. It's like, okay, I guess they can stop it. So for that, it's 7.5 out of 10. It was enjoyable though. It's like I said, great way for the Fantastic Four to stop something. Teamwork, I think that's the best way with Fantastic Four. You don't really get that with other books normally. I mean, you do, but it's not the same where it's like normally like Superman could have just done this by himself, or like Thor could have done this by himself, where, you know, like with this, it's like, no, the whole team was needed.
Yeah. Sounds like 4 of those 7.5 points were for binocular eye read, though.
Yeah. That's still the best. I took pictures of both of them.
That's like so, like, I don't know. It's like in Framing Roger Rabbit, if he sees like a hot lady, just like a stupid sound effect with his eyes doing that.
The second one where he's like still like his eyes are still bulged, it made me think of Who Framed Roger Rabbit. But when the bad guy, like, do you remember the tune that killed your brother? And he took off his, you know, took off his glasses, and he's got the butt. Like, that's what it made me think of.
Oh boy. All right. Did you read Dawn Runner?
No.
Okay.
Is that the one about the guy, like the ducks that get oil on them, and they have that guy with the Dawn detergent, and he has to run to, you know, get more because they ran out. He had to run to the store to get it. And no?
No. No.
Okay.
So Dawn Runner number one. It's by Ram V with art by Evan Cagle. This book was pretty fucking awesome, dude.
Nice.
Like, Evan Cagle is one of the best comic artists out there, and I have read one issue. So first of all, look at some faces.
Yeah, that's great.
And then one panel in particular that I will be showing you. And I know it's not gonna come across super well, but this one, it looks like somebody was watching anime and paused the screen. Yeah. Like, that's how detailed, and like the lighting and everything, it's fucking great.
Yeah,
I just loved it anyway. Basically, like, it's humans versus aliens, and the human government has dissolved, and 5 mega corporations control everything, and they built these things called Iron Kings, and they're giant fucking mechs that have to fight the aliens. So it's a bit Pacific Rim, it's a bit Neon Genesis. except I like this, unlike Neon Genesis. It's fucking rad as hell, dude. So here is one of the aliens. So they're kind of creepy looking, right?
Yeah.
And then, like, here's like the action, though.
Oh, dude, that looks awesome.
It's just, it's so good. It's so good. Anyway, the book mostly follows this one gal that is, she has like the most kills out of all the Iron King pilots. And today's the day that she's going to try out their new experimental Iron King that's supposed to be better than all the rest. They can understand the alien language, and that's going to help them kick more ass. Well, she gets hooked up to it. It's like a whole body thing, you know, fucking stuff in her head connected to the king. And she starts getting visions of some guy. And she's like seeing stuff through this guy. And it really kind of ends like that. So it's really like, well, what the hell's going on with that? And the rest of the issue was good enough that I'm going to find out next time. So, yeah, I really like this book. Ram V is coming out swinging with this one. So I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10. It's probably my pick of the week.
Nice,
it was just it's just something different and fresh, and I like it.
Nice. Ram is genuinely awesome. Like I'm upset that I couldn't get into his Detective Comics, but I do know, I'm like, ah, maybe if I ever get caught up on all my trades I have to read, I'll get that one afterwards.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so the Invincible Iron Man 16 by Gary Duggan and Priest Lee on the art. We get, you know, Iron Man in his new mech that it was like all build up to last time, and you know, it's this super powerful thing, but it's like, oh, it turns out it needs a lot of energy and he has no way of powering it back up, and it runs out of power. And his new armor that's, you know, able to withstand shots of adamantium. It's like, ah, it turns out it's not that strong when in plot devices need it to be.
Yeah,
it's just like they did too much of a good job of making everything that he was doing last issue be awesome for this one to hit, like for him to be struggling this much. It's just like, yeah, it doesn't really work, bud. So yeah, I mean, it's fine. Next issue should be cool. I'm excited for this shit to be done because it's been 16 issues of the same arc basically since Gary, you know, since Gary Duggan's took over. So it's like, this will be nice when it's done. So yeah, it's fine. It's a 7 out of 10 for me though.
Right.
And then I'll jump into Green Lantern War Journal number 7. And this is by Philip Kennedy Johnson. And find the artist really quick. Dang, I hate how DC does this. I say this all the time. But it's like Montos first name. There we go. Oh, it's just Montos. That's the whole name. But yeah, it's a solid issue. We're getting a little bit more backstory on stuff and on, you know, the bad guys basically. And then they mention a couple times, and it can't, like, Philip Kennedy Johnson's too smart for this. They mentioned several times, like, the thing in the sky. This isn't a spoiler. The Dark Star. Like, you can't go through that, blah, blah, blah. Dark Star is a Green Lantern villain, you know? So it's like, I'm curious if this is bringing that up or if Philip Kennedy Johnson's just like, I just think it sounds cool. But so, like, I'm interested in that because it's like, the way I remember Dark Star, he, you know, like, or they, because it's like a whole conglomerate type thing where it's like they doesn't really have, never did this, so I'm curious about that. But it's good. I mean, it's just a solid good book. I'm gonna go 8.5 probably out of 10.
Nice.
And then I'll let you take back over, then I got two more before I mute you.
Okay. Vengeance of the Moon Knight, number 3. That's written by Jed McKay with art by Alessandro Capuccio. And this time it's Soldier talking to a doctor lady who has been the therapist for everybody else. And it's just all about Soldier and his relationship to Moon Knight. And then in the background, you know, whoever this new Moon Knight is going very much David Finch era Moon Knight style and just beating the fuck out of everybody and carving moons into foreheads. And all the villains and all the people are starting to come after everyone at the Midnight Mission because they're like, Moon Knight's your boy and your boy's fucking up everybody. So what the hell? And so they're trying to play damage control. And then a big part of this is like a group of D-list villains decide they're going to come shoot up the Midnight Mission. So it's just Tigra, Soldier, and Hunter's Moon, you know, stopping them, which is pretty neat. Oh, and Reese as well. But yeah, art's still fucking cool. Soldier and 8-Ball go and talk to somebody, we don't see who, until the very end, about helping them find where this fake Moon Knight is, like where he sleeps or whatever, so that they can all go and put a stop to him. And it turns out that it's this, she was in the last series briefly, her name's Lady Yulon, but she's like a crazy old vampire who's been around for hundreds of years, and they're like, you know, you own the night. You have to know where this guy's at. Tell us so we can put a stop to him. And that's how it ends. So it's real good, man. This book's always good. I feel like it's never dipped below a 9. Jed McKay is just knocking it out of the park every single issue. So 9 out of 10. Love it.
Right on, man. All right. So World's Finest by Mark Wade and Stephen Pugh doing the art, and then we get the backup that's by Mark Wade and Dan Mora. And I like this the main story a lot. It's a Joker Lex Luthor story. Lex has this map where it's like you read it, you go insane. So I'm gonna make Joker read it since he's already insane. And Joker's written really well. You know, like he's got psychotic, like it's very similar, I'm gonna say, to the animated series where it's like psychotic tendencies but still fun.
Sure.
Because there's too much, you know, anymore there's too much like one way or the other, usually just the psycho, not the fun, you know. And this one it does both, and there's lots of weird stuff that goes on. And
can I just say, I thought you were done with that book, so I didn't pick it up either, because I was like, oh well, he's done with it.
Well, I will be done, because then the backup, it's all setting up for, because I just forgot that I, you know, wasn't interested in a bunch of imp shit. And then the backup is Mix-a-Plick and Batmite doing some silly stuff. And I'm like, boy, I couldn't care less.
Yeah.
But like I said, the main story is good. Mark Wade writes a good Joker and a good Lex. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go with an 8. It's good.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it, man.
And then the April special, and this is by, or we get multiple stories, but we got Plan of the Apes, or Rise of Battle for an Eventual Conquest of the Legion of Doom, by John Layman and Carl Mostert on the art, and then Detective Chimp and Detour by Joshua Hale Fialkov and Phil Hester. And then
a name I haven't heard in a while.
What?
Joshua Fialkov.
Well, I recognize it, but what else has he done?
Dude, I mean, I don't remember offhand, but that was somebody that like we were running into at C2E2 like a long time ago.
But then we also have Monkey Prince and Call to Arms by Jean Luen Yang and Bernard Chang on the art.
Oh, he did I, Vampire for the New 52.
Oh,
He also wrote Godzilla Oblivion, and he did another Godzilla World of something or other.
Yeah. Well, spoiler alert, he does Detective Chimp well.
Yeah.
And so this first story, Mala has decided he's going to take over as the alpha monkey. And so then he's got Silverback, Ultra Humanite, Jackanapes, and Titano. And he's like, we're taking over. No monkeys are going to get hurt. We're going to be, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then Sam Simeon and Detective Chimp are both investigating missing monkeys. Monkey Prince is like, guys, I'm going to have your help too. This French monkey ripped my arm off. And they're like, oh, that was Monsieur Mala. And so then they all team up.
Who could it be?
Yeah. Like, what other French gorilla is there? But Titano's gotten stronger. They're all like, all each of these monkeys have all gotten more powerful and whatnot. And they're getting the good guys are getting their butts kicked. But then Detective Chimp runs off and brings back Gleek. And I don't know what the fuck the super monkey is, but the super monkey, you know, like that Superman monkey that's on the cover.
He's in Supergirl comics, right?
I don't know, man, but yeah. So he shows up and then they fight back and Sam Simeon follows Mala. And then when he gets there, he sees how they're getting more powerful. Like basically it's like a monkey's paw type of thing. And by that, I mean, literally, because they found, I think there was a fun pun name for it. It was the monkey Nomicon. And they found that. And then they're ripping off these, like, the monkeys that they're stealing's arms and then using that as like a monkey paw type thing to make these other the bad guy monkeys more powerful. And so like Sam Simeon shows up there, and then the other superhero monkeys followed him, and so they're ready to kick his ass, you know, Mala's ass. But then all the other monkeys showed up, the bad guys did too, and they're like, and we followed them. And then Mala's like, good, this make it easy, kill them. And then they all look at him. He's like, oh, fellas, kill them. It's like, you said no apes or monkeys would be hurt, no innocent, that is, only humans. You lied to us, Mala. You made fools of us. And they just beat the crap out of them, and they put a sign on them that says, traitor to apes, spank this monkey. And I'm like, pretty sure something got lost in translation for that last part. And then it ends with Sam Simeon getting a new job helping this lady. And it's like, I loved it. Like, it was so good. Like I was telling you beforehand, you put a monkey in like a detective costume, I'm easy to please. It's going to be awesome. And so that first story was great. It's nice reading John Layman again. And then we get the Detective Chimp story.
By the way, the monkey is Beppo.
Oh, okay.
That's Superman's pet monkey, who was also from Krypton.
Oh, of course he was.
Can you guess he's a Silver Age character?
What? I just love how, like, there was a whole, like, there was, you know, the dog, the monkey, the horse, the fucking gerbil, all that stuff. Like, the parents are like, yeah, let's just load them up in the things. Like, and, you know, the wife is like, is there room for me? It's like, nah, not with his horse and
that's dog, so funny.
It's like, maybe just leave. Like, how could a Kryptonian child live his life
without his pet
horse? But yeah, so this story, it's awesome. Like, legitimately so good. Detective Chimp, you know, he needed a ride, and so he gets a ride with this guy who just murdered somebody. And so yeah, that's all I'm going to say with it. It's just a really good story. Like, Phil Hester's art is perfect for this type of story. And then you add the way it's written, super good. And then last story, it's a Monkey Prince story by Gene Luen Yang, Bernard Chang. His arm's acting up after it got put back on. And yeah, then he goes and shows back up. He's fighting. Like, all of his arms got basically, like, made more, copied. And so now there's a bunch of them. They're going to use it for magic stuff. Ultra Humanite's there. I forgot Ultra Humanite was his uncle, was his grandpa. And so it was a whole thing. Like, they had a whole thing. And yeah, I mean, that last story, like, perfectly all right. But then I also just want to say, this is probably my new favorite cover of all time. I don't know if you can read it, but I'll say it.
Yeah.
There's a monkey in a court, and he goes, the guy goes, we find that we, the jury, find the defendant guilty. And then the monkey's like, I'm innocent, I tell you.
So one of the other covers that it shows is for Strange Sports Stories.
Yes.
I have that one in the shop. I laugh every time I see it.
So awesome. Like, this is just making me want to be the guy that collects monkey covers because they're all great. There's another one where this monkey's like in a lab and he's like trying to leave the thing. And like, there's your laboratory freak, professor. Shoot him down before he gets away with the stolen formula. He's like, wait, don't shoot. Let me explain. I'm going to give this a 9.95. I love the two main stories. And then like the last one was just was fine. Nothing about it was bad, you know, but yeah, it's good. I like a lot of these anthology books have kind of not been the best. Like, or at least there's like one story where I'm like, I just didn't even read it because it was just not enjoyable.
Right.
But this, you know, this didn't really have that. So yeah, it's just Monkey Prince is kind of like a character I'm just can't get invested in. I've tried hard, but just not for me. But now I'm on Muchi territory, bud.
Let's do Dear Editor Blade Superman.
Okie dokie. Vampire happy time.
I know, right? Dear Editor, written by Ryan K. Lindsay with art by Sammy Cavella. I only read this because it was the last issue. I couldn't give a fuck.
I mean, it's like I was like after the second issue, which was such a, you know, jarring thing for me. I was like, I'm still interested in seeing where it goes. I hope it doesn't disappoint. And it did.
Yeah. I mean, the saving grace is like the internal dialogue is good. Like it's well written. It's just everything else is like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah. Well, because it's like like the dialogue in general is well written, but then like the story itself, I'm just like, what the fuck is going on? And you know, because he does this and it's like, oh yeah, he doesn't actually stop. It's just like he doesn't really stop anything. He just tells the world about it.
Yeah.
Like that's it.
It's and then, just like,
the girl that's pregnant, she has her kid.
Yep. Yeah, I know. It he was just an editor at a newspaper.
Yeah.
Just an editor at a newspaper. And in two issues, he's now a fucking gymnast vampire hunter. And I'm like, what are we doing?
Well, he's a deer also, you know.
He is. Everyone, he is also a deer.
Everyone knows vampire's number one killer is deer.
Yeah. Yeah, how could we all forget? Yeah, I don't know, man. It's just like, normally I'm all about a vampire slaying book, but not after the first issue. It's just like every time we got to one of those parts, I'm just like, okay, uh-huh. I was just couldn't get to the end fast enough.
Yeah, I agree. It was a letdown. But it's like, I don't know. I think it could have, like, even after the first issue, it could have been a fun twist with it being vampires. If there was like little things sprinkled throughout, you know, like different stuff, but it was just kind of like, yeah, it's vampires. And then this issue, and then like there wasn't really closure other than like, we know that there's vampires now.
Yep. Yeah, I don't know. I'm gonna give it like a 2, man. Like I don't know. I just really did not like it.
Yeah, I'm feeling a 4. I'm thinking about letting Nick borrow these because it's like he might have a different perspective than us on it. And maybe since he'll already know the twist for the second issue, he won't hate it as much as we do.
Right.
Alrighty, so Blade issue 9 by Brian Hill and Valentina Pinti on the art. I love the art still in this book. Story itself is solid, but I still have questions. What do you think though?
Yeah, I liked it. We're back to issue 4, where it's like, all right, all this shit's happening, all the stuff's getting thrown at us, because the next issue, it's done. Really, I think that Blade will kill the bad guy or whatever, but I really think that they're setting it up for Doctor Strange to kind of like save the day. Like,
I think
maybe Blade like dies or something, and then Strange brings him back somehow. I don't know. It's just like the way they left off with Strange towards the end. I'm like, okay, what's gonna happen there?
See, I think Ghosty Boy is probably going to be the one that saves the day, or the actually probably the girl, Ghosty Boy's daughter. But like to me, it's just like it doesn't make any sense that the Adana or whatever is still just like in hiding, because it's like, oh yeah, she beat him, she won in issue 4 off panel. And then they're like, oh, now she's hiding. The classic thing you do when you won.
Here's what's going to be really funny. Next issue, she wins again. And then it's like, to be continued. And then he's off training with someone else.
Dragon Ball Z style. He'll be like, oh, I'm gonna go train with this guy now.
Right, in the hyperbolic time
Yeah.
chamber.
Ooh, you know who he's gonna train with? He's gonna train with Werewolf by Night next.
I'd love that.
Jake's like, I'm back in. I don't care
I'm
how dumb it
back
is.
in. Well, the thing is like, even if it did continue, I'd still be in because I like what I'm reading, you
Yeah, it's
know?
just, it's like, it's one of those things where it's like the main story's kind of dumb,
Yeah, it
but I
is.
kind of, it also reeks of like editorial dumbness and not the writer's dumbness. So, like, it's hard for me to be too, pissy about it on the writer's side. Because it's like everything in it is good. It's just like it really feels like they're having to work around editorial telling them shit, you know?
Yep, I agree. But also, art is good as always. That needs to be said. But yeah, I'm at like a 7.5, I think.
Yeah, I was feeling an 8 for it, so.
And our last book, Superman number 12. It's written by Joshua Williamson with art by David Baldeon and Norm Ratman. I like this book quite a bit.
Me too.
I want to say that is this the first issue that Baldeon was the artist on, or did he do last issue?
I think you did last issue too.
Okay. Because I know that like Gleb did one here recently,
Yeah.
but art's really good. It's a little cartoony in parts, but I think it works with like
I
the
do too.
fights. A big highlight for me is they're like, we need some kind of battery for this to suck out all
Same,
the
here.
whatever, and then it shoots to Parasite. Sitting in a chair with like jeans and a tucked in button down, and Superman's like, "You ready, Rudy? I promise it won't hurt." And I'm just like, "God damn it, he knows how to write Superman."
Then I fucking just love, I love Parasite too, because he's like, this is the best.
it's the best meal I've ever had, he says. I love Superman calling Parasite, creepy Parasite, by his first name, Rudy. But no, I mean, it was cool. We got to see Lex kind of shine as a hero for a second. I loved when Lex didn't want to listen to Superman, but Superman was like, "Are you a changed man, Lex? You need to prove it right here." And for a second, I was like, "Will he?" I didn't know if he would or not. Yeah, hopefully we're done with like the chained and fucking farm and graph, because boy, every time I have to look at fucking Dr. Farm, I just hate
Like
it.
with Dr. Farm, I was like, I was never 100% sure if it was a dude or a chick. And then this one, it finally, because he says, we're all men of science, correct? I'm like, oh, okay. It's like, we are men. Okay, I got
Yeah.
it
Didn't want to assume anything.
now.
Yeah. I'm just ready. Like I don't know how House of Brainiac's gonna be. Like I want to believe that Williamson's gonna give us a cool story there. I'm just glad to be done with Farm and Graft and the Chained.
It just felt, I mean, the Chained was pretty terrible, but with Farm and Graft, it feels like they could have gotten a little bit more. It was just kind of like, our one, we're this terrible secret thing. And then it's like the one, like they're finally doing something. And it's like, you caught us. Okay. Like that was kind of lame.
Yeah.
Cause like, I mean, I get what you're saying where you don't want to really deal with them anymore, but I think they should have got away and like
Yeah.
build a plan again, But that's really my only critique on this book because I had a great time. It's like it's what comics should be. It should just be fun.
It should be. Also, I should have mentioned, oh, where is it? The Colorist. Rex Locus. Fantastic. Nice bright colors. The kryptonite gas, very bright and green. Superman, looking great. It's just really nice to look at. It's always going to be tough to follow up Jamal Campbell, but I think that they did, even though you're not big on Gleb and there were some issues with his issue, overall the step-ins were pretty good.
But Jamal Campbell's just too
Too good. Agreed.
good.
So, I'm at like a 9.5, man. I loved it.
Yeah. I'm feeling a 9 because it was, like I said, it was kind of anticlimactic with the ending, but other than that, great stuff. And it's exactly what comics should be, like we were saying. But what are you excited about in this coming week, man?
I'm excited for Batman Dark Age. That's what's his name who did Superman Space Age, taking on Batman. Mark
Mr. Mark
Russell.
Russell.
Yeah. So I think I liked how he wrote Batman in Space Age. So I think this will be cool. I'm also going to say Incredible Hulk. I've been just loving every issue of that. And. Green Arrow. That's been another solid one for me.
So I'm gonna go Batman Dark Age 2 because I'm super pumped for that. I didn't even know it was a thing until I saw it advertised, and I was like, "Holy crap, this is gonna be rad!" And then I'll say Duke and Daredevil.
Nice.
Okay, but Mount Rushmore time, or not Mount Rushmore, Fantastic Four time. I saw on Facebook where someone was like the Mount Rushmore of Batman rogues, and he had, fucking
Joker.
Joker, which I think Joker needs to be on there. Court of Owls, which it's like that'd be a weird on your Mount Rushmore.
Just 40 heads in that one little space.
Yeah, Bane, and then the one that I'm like, dude, just because DC wants him to be a Batman rogue, he is not, and he had Deathstroke.
I knew you were gonna say it after that first part.
So I was just thinking, what would be your Mount Rushmore of Batman rogues?
I'll say Bane is also on mine. I think Bane's a really good villain. I'm not gonna put.
You're just a Chucky Dix fanboy. That's all it
You know I am.
is.
Joker's not on mine because I'm so jokered out. I don't want to do it. The kind of goofy one is Mad Hatter
Just he just
because,
did that for the hat, right? He's
yeah.
filling in Abe Lincoln's spot.
Right. But whenever Mad Hatter's involved, it's always a little more lighthearted and fun, I guess. And sometimes Batman needs that. And then probably my two favorites, though. I'm going to go with Two-Face. I pretty much every time he's involved, it's just been awesome, at least the stuff that I've read. Especially Batman and Robin New 52, where Batman was teaming up with Two-Face there for a little bit. I don't know if you remember that.
I don't think I do.
It was right when Damian died. So then it was like Batman and Nightwing, then Batman and Batgirl. And then there was a Two-Face arc. It was so good. And then my favorite's Man-Bat. I've said that a bunch of times. I love Man-Bat. His story's cool. I like Kirk. He's just not featured very much. So.
Yeah. All right, and then for me, I'm going to go with Joker, of course, because he's, you know, Joker. And then Ra's al Ghul, he, you know, top of the line. And then this one's, I'm going to say a little controversial, but Mr. Freeze. Because really, the best stuff with Mr. Freeze is the animated series. It's like, you try to compare that to his comic book appearances, and there's not a whole lot there, you know, that you can compare.
Not controversial. I almost put him in place of Mad Hatter.
And you know why, though? It's because we're the same age. We both grew up with that show.
Yeah. But, dude, like prime Mr. Freeze in that show is better than a lot of prime other popular Batman villains.
No, you're right. It's just, it's like, I don't understand why. I mean, actually, I kind of do, because they have to keep writing them, and like the show got to end. So it's like, but like, we don't have, you know, like, it's just the comic book Mr. Freeze just doesn't ever hit near as well. And then my last one, I was thinking Bane, but I'm like, that was on the example and then on yours, so I won't do that. I don't know who would be a good last one. Firefly. No, I'm joking. Probably Penguin, because he's very, yeah. No, actually, I'll go Riddler. I think Riddler's probably a little bit, would be like a little bit above Penguin. And then Penguin's like, just, you know, like, he'd be like the fifth.
Yeah. Another one that I thought of, but again, it's the Chucky D talking to me. Azrael, man.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say Zazz. I'm like, oh, I'm going to smack you.
No. Azrael's tough. He's nearly as good as Batman, and really gave him a nasty time there for a little bit.
But they're friends sort of now, so like, yeah, you know,
that's why I didn't add him.
Less rogues. But let us know. Let us know who your guys' Mount Rushmore Batman villains, who, you know, who you agree with more, me or Jake.
Yeah, because it's a total competition.
It is. I need validated.
And I don't. All right. Yep. I think that brings us to the end of the episode, buddy.
Absolutely, man.
Closing plugs time. Head on over to facebook.com/twoworldspodcast and give the page a like. You can also follow us on Twitter at @2_worlds_PC and on Instagram at @2worldspod. You can email us at twoworldspodcast@gmail.com. And if you would, head on over to the YouTube channel. We are Two Worlds Podcast on YouTube, and subscribe.
Leave a comment down below. Tell us, like I said, your Mount Rushmore, or just if you thought Dear Editor was actually really good. Maybe you're the third person that read that book. But yeah, just talk to us.
All right, guys.
Oh, let us know really quick. Let us know your favorite James Bond movie and, you know, your favorite James Bond.
Yes. And answer it, damn it. We're asking for it.
Oh, and should Puck be sexy?
All right, guys. We'd love to stay in chat, but we have a couple of crimes to solve, and those trench coats aren't going to wear themselves. So we'll catch you next time. Bye.
Bye.